This is John McMurray of the Society for American Baseball Research, and I'm speaking today on July the 3rd, 2019, with former Major League player and manager Jerry Nerin. And Jerry, I wonder if you could tell me how you got interested in baseball.
I was 4 years old, and I had an uncle who was coaching with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and my mom and dad went to games 3, 4, and 5 in New York to see the Yankees and Pirates play in the 60 World Series. And I knew it was a pretty big deal if my mom and dad left my brother and sisters and I at home with one of our aunts. So it had to be a big deal for them to do something like that.
Did you know all along you wanted to be a big league player?
No, that's all I ever wanted to do was play in the big leagues, and I was able to do that and fortunate enough to stay in the game as a coach and manager afterwards.
You were born in North Carolina, which is not exactly a hotbed of baseball. Tell me how that worked out.
Yeah, it's pretty more of a hotbed than people think, I would believe. I look out on this field out here, Corey Seager's over there in the other dugout. We just played the Giants with Madison Bumgarner, and there's some pretty good players from North Carolina around right now. And got Hall of Famers like Enos Slaughter and Catfish Hunter and quite a few other guys.
Now, you went to college, unlike a lot of Major League players. Did you feel you needed more seasoning before going to the majors?
Well, I signed out of high school with the Yankees, but during the winters I went to East Carolina. And if they'd had online degrees like they do now, I'd have been finished with it no time. But I had an opportunity to sign with the Yankees, and my brother had a chance to sign at the same time. So we both signed it. He was out of college. So we both signed, and worked out real well.
I know you played with your brother in the rookie Appalachian League.
Yes, sir. A lot of fun. My brother was 4 years older than me, and like I said, he was a college graduate. And when I was growing up, he didn't want a whole lot to do with me. So then we get the chance to play. It was a lot of fun.
When you played at West Haven, you had some pretty good offensive numbers, 277 one year. And at what point did you think that getting to the majors was could have been a reality?
Well, in West Haven that year, I hit 299, hit 28 home runs, but I don't know who's counting other than me. I played rookie ball out of high school. I hit 300 there in the Appalachian League. Then I went to the Florida State League for 2 years and kind of scuffled a little bit, which for a young guy in that high ball, it's kind of difficult. But finally getting to Double-A, things took off for me.
Now tell me about your Major League debut, April 13th, 1979, with the Yankees.
Well, I was a September call-up in 78, but I didn't get in a game, so I guess I'm not even in the encyclopedia
right.
Or Sabre or anything else for September, but I got those days on my pension, so I'll take it.
That's right,
but
I think it counts only when you play.
Yeah, yeah. But we were playing in Chicago, had a pinch hit at bat off Rich Worthen, and flied out to the deep center field at Comiskey.
A long out. Now, obviously, you were Thurman Munson's backup. I'm sure you're asked about that often. Tell me about your relationship with Munson.
Well, my first spring training with the Yankees, I went in 76 and 77 and also in 78, so I had a chance to be around him those years. And he helped me a great deal. We'd talk about pitchers and just different situations and hitting, that type thing. And then making the club in 79, it was a lot of fun being with him and just trying to learn from him.
Sounds like he was supportive, that he was...
Very much so. And, I think everybody that went through there, he tried to support. He was the captain of the ball club and the leader of the club and had been there through some lean times when he first got there at the end of the 60s. And really, he was the turning point that really turned the Yankees around.
What was it like joining the Yankees? I mean, that team had, been to 3 straight World Series by the time you got there. How receptive were they to a young player joining the roster?
Very much so. I'd been in the organization. I'd signed there in 74, so they'd seen me around at spring training. And just being in the organization, there's kind of a camaraderie there to begin with, so it made it pretty easy.
Tell me about Reggie Jackson and what he was like. I mean, he was a larger-than-life star.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to play with Reggie in New York and also with the Angels, and one of the best players in the game at the time, and just an outstanding player and one of the best clutch performers of all time.
Tell me about Munson's death and how it impacted the team. Obviously, how beloved a player as he was, it was heartbreaking. And you, in the first game after, after his death, waited back before coming out to the field. Tell me about your thoughts.
Well, anytime you lose somebody that you're close to, it's very difficult. And in baseball, it's like losing a member of your family. I see a lot of what's going on with the Angels right now with Skaggs passing, and can relate to that with Thurman. Very, very difficult. We all tried to go out and play with heavy hearts, and or we did play with heavy hearts. But, you know, we went through the next day and then had the funeral on the following Monday, and it was just a very difficult weekend for everybody.
What did being with the Yankees teach you about being a professional baseball player? I get the sense they were just had it down.
Well, I thought it was that way with every organization, that it was all about winning and, you know, win at all costs, and you better perform or you're gone. And it's not that way on every club, believe it or not. You know, there's the Yankees who, you know, expect to win, want to win, when I was coming up in the 70s. And Mr. Steinbrenner was could do anything he could to get an advantage for his club. I first met Mr. Steinbrenner in 1975. I was playing in Fort Lauderdale, and we were wearing the old flannel uniforms, and he came to a game in Tampa. We were playing the Tampa Reds, and he came over to see us play. And he told us after the game, you know, if you guys get a haircut, you're clean shaven, I'll make sure you have new uniforms. And the very next day, we had boxes of brand new uniforms. So from that time on, Mr. Steinbrenner had me. I trusted everything he said and believed everything he said. And the great thing about it is he gave the same pride and tradition speech of the Yankees that he gave to the day he died. We heard that in 1975.
Now, in November of 1979, you were traded. Did you see that coming?
You know, just the way the Yankees operate, and we didn't win in 79, I knew there'd be a lot of changes and a chance that I might go somewhere else.
How did you feel going to Seattle? That was a team that was an expansion team only a couple of years before, hadn't had any success to that point.
Well, you know, you realize trades are part of the game, for me, with that first club, and I think for all players, the first club you sign with and you make the big leagues with, that you have an affection for, and you don't really want to leave it at the time. You do understand how the game works, but it was a little bit difficult at times, and the intensity in Seattle wasn't the same as New York, and I like that East Coast intensity, and especially the Yankees. And you know, you play on the East Coast, the fans hold you accountable, and the media holds you accountable, and that's the way the game should be.
When you went on to the Angels, tell me about that team. That was a whole different feel.
It was a lot like the Yankee clubs. You had a lot of veteran players who had won, and we were expecting to win and wanting to win, and it was a lot of fun being there with some great, great players.
And so you got to play with Reggie again. What was that? He had to come in.
Reggie, I thought, was a little more relaxed. I think Reggie, you know, he hit his 500th home run when I was playing with him there, and he knew, I think, at that time he was going to go to the Hall of Fame one day, so that kind of pressure was off of him. But, you know, playing there, Rod Carew was there, Bobby Gritch, you had Doug DeSensei, Freddie Lynn, Brian Downing, and Bob Boone behind the plate, who I backed up. It was a great, great ball club with some really outstanding players.
What was Carew like? He wasn't the kind of guy who said very much, but it seemed like he could. It was the best I've ever seen it going the opposite way.
Well, he could definitely square baseball up, and he did it consistently better than anybody, or right there at the top of it there for quite a few years. And it's a lot of fun to play with him. He was a guy that really didn't try to do too much at bat. He tried to just square the ball up, use the entire field. He had more power than people, I think, realized, but didn't really try to go for the home run, and just an outstanding hitter.
You stayed with the Angels through 87. What was your key to longevity in staying in the league?
Probably not playing very much, backing up Bob Boone. I didn't get overexposed.
At what point did you know you wanted to get into coaching and managing?
I don't know, probably from my entire life. I think if I wouldn't have been a baseball player, I'd have been a teacher. And so that part of it, wanting to help other people become the best they can be, was something I think I always wanted to do.
Tell me about getting connected with Johnny Oates. Obviously, he was a catcher, and it seems as though a lot of catchers become managers.
Well, I think so. As you know, you've got to run the pitching staff, all the fields in front of you, and a lot of that. But Oatesy was my AAA manager the last year I played in Rochester in 88. And I played there that final year, and I knew at the time that I was about finished playing. And Oatesy was a manager and got along real well. We had a good ball club, and I don't know, our relationship started there.
What is the hardest part about managing?
just dealing with 25 different personalities, I think maybe the most difficult thing. And that comes back to having great communication with each one of them and treating each one of them differently, but the same, you know, the same at the very same time. And that's kind of difficult. And but it's a challenge, and I have a great deal of respect for any of the 30 guys that are managing major league clubs right now.
Tell me about your work now with Arizona, and how you feel you've impacted this current team.
I don't know how, if I've impacted them or not. I hope I have, but I just try to stay positive with them and also be honest with them. You know, I don't want to sit here and tell somebody something that's not true, but I think the players trust what I tell them, and they know I'm sincere about the way I want them to improve and be the best they can be.
In this era of analytics, is it harder to coach players who are thinking about leveraging particular at-bats?
No, I really think it might be easier, because with all the analytics today and you guys getting paid for different type of analytics, a coach can show them exactly where they are on the analytic part of it and what they need to improve and how they can improve it. And there's just so much information and so much video and just so much technology that we can use. I think it really makes our jobs easier.
Do you have a particular highlight of your career when you look your playing career and you look back and you say, that player that I saw or that game that I had was stands out?
Well, you know, I think anytime most guys, you get your first major league hit was off a Hall of Famer, Jim Palmer. Mm-hmm. My first home run was off a Hall of Famer, Dennis Eckersley. Those two things stand out. I know just playing with the Yankees after signing with them was a huge deal for me, and also playing with the Angels. And game four in the LCS in 86, I had a leadoff hit in the extra innings and scored the winning run to put us up 3-1.
Well, I know you have a meeting at 3:45 here at Dodger Stadium, so I will let you go to your next appointed round. Jerry Nairn, thank you so very much for your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And I appreciate everything Sabre does and all you guys that get after the history of the game and the numbers of the game. And I think that's awesome.